925. Brother Haney.
I want to bring a prayer request to you. Many of you are aware of the somewhat ongoing, certainly periodic, and somewhat just ongoing struggles that our friend Lance Morris has. Lance has been open and honest before the congregation several times, and to you privately as well. And he receives many prayers, and I hope continued prayers, beyond just those times in which he has shared with us very personally. Lance asked today that we offer prayer on his behalf. Again, he is has some health issues that are ongoing that are causing some other issues as well. And Lance is here this morning, and I want you to see him if you get a chance before you go. He's seated back there right by Linda Osteen. He has replaced Jack this morning, and I must say the pew looks better already. But anyway, Lance is a very, very sincere, those that know him know how sincere he is, how open he is. He loves this congregation. He appreciates your prayers. He appreciates the body here. Let's go to God on his behalf. Father, thank you for the day, and thank you for hearing our prayer. Thank you for knowing ahead of time all of our needs, and Father, our desires. And Father, thank you for responding to our prayers, sometimes in a manner in which we did not ask, because you know needs, not just desires. And Father, your will is perfect. Father, we are challenged to not just believe in you, but believe you. We are challenged to believe that your grace is sufficient during our challenges. We ask that you will strengthen Lance to continue to believe this as he has. We ask that you will ease his physical pain and his current struggle. We ask you to bless those doctors that are dealing with him. We ask you to, we're thankful that in a recent doctor's visit, they were able to determine some things. And we're thankful to live in a time and a place which allows us to do that, where maybe earlier generations would not have had that advantage. Father, we're thankful for his faith. We're thankful for his friendship. We're thankful for his open nature and his honesty before the congregation, so we know how to pray and what to pray about. Father, we ask you to continue to strengthen and bless him physically, but we certainly ask for that spiritually. And for all those who need the same, as you would know that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we have decided to... Well, before I begin, let me say something. And Tim may have said something about this already, I'm not sure. But we really, in some respects, could not say enough about it. Great event last night here. We're thankful for all of those that pulled it together, for those that that planned it, and for those that worked it. A tremendous turnout, lots of fun. Met some and made some new friends, some visitors. We're thankful for visitors here this morning. That were here last night, and so we're grateful for that. But for all those who labored before, during, and after the event, we're thankful to you, and for those that just made it a special time. Decided to mention this morning this topic, the brand marks of Jesus. We've mentioned this verse before, but for a different purpose. This morning I want to extend that and really create a whole lesson off of this idea. The brand marks of Jesus. Anybody in the room ever done any cattle branding? Show of hands. A few, yeah. A few have done that, so you can picture what I mean in a certain respect, in a specific way, a unique way. When I talk about brand marks, that would be something maybe Malin, that should be a youth group activity right there, Cole. Malin can help with that. They need to see that. You could still smell it, so you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes, unfortunately, in the news, in the time in which we live, we will see people branding things, if you will, on their bodies. And I mean not just mother right here or something like that. I'm talking about things that identify them with a group that doesn't do nice things. I saw a couple of news stories again, as is increasingly true, unfortunately. A couple of news stories this past week on the activities, the ongoing activities, and even the Middle Tennessee presence of the very dangerous, heinous MS-13 gang that has come up mostly from El Salvador or often from El Salvador area and is infiltrating this area. They're very, very violent, and they showed pictures of some of these gang members, and they have things just all over them suggesting of what group they are a part. And so we're familiar with branding in that way. We're familiar with branding in terms of logos and icons, so that if I throw up the golden arches up on the screen this morning, I assume, other than maybe the smallest among us, and they might be actually the first to know, that's a McDonald's thing. Branding is everywhere. We understand that branding says, I've been here, I've been there. I go with them. I appreciate this. I fight for this. I believe in this. That sort of thing. Branding brings things to the mind of others. Let me ask this question again. What story do the marks of your life tell? Marks from your life, marks from your history, marks from your choices, marks from current choices, not just past choices. What do the marks of your life tell? What story do they tell? We sing sometimes, I love to tell the story. Well, what story? What story is that you love to tell? And is a picture that can be worth a thousand words equal to the story you're telling verbally somewhere that you claim to love? What story do the marks of your life tell? My choices absolutely tell to whom I belong. Scripture teaches that my ongoing choices, now we're not talking about a choice made here and a choice made there in rare circumstances, rare situations, or at least more rare than the norm. They're not the norm, they're just the periodic flare-up of humanity that ought not be, and we admit that, but that we cannot live perfectly, as we say. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that which is your regular choice, your regular habit, your regular life, and you know it. Your choices tell to whom you belong. Whether that makes us feel good this morning or not, doesn't matter. It's true. Our choices tell a story. And they tell to whom we belong. Brand marks of Jesus is our topic this morning. The marks matter. This is Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, shown there on the slide at the top. From now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. In Galatians chapter 6, Paul is dealing with circumcision and uncircumcision. And this would be a battle that he would personally fight, perhaps, but certainly one, if not in a personal battle, it's one he would write about often, because far too many Christians were dealing with this struggle. There was circumcision from the old law, that old covenant, that very, very important and understandably important and beautiful in its own right. circumcision, and then there was the new covenant and the new law. We are the circumcision, he would say. But Paul writes about this in Galatians chapter 6, and whose are you? To whom do you belong? We thought you were one of us. I don't. And there's great pressure upon the early Christians there, evidently at the church of Galatia. Paul writes about it to other congregations. There's great pressure there to sort of live here and live here. And he would write against that need, against that desire. And so he says, as he reaches verse 17 in Galatians, my choices, I'm paraphrasing now, what you can see in me, have seen from and in me and through me, and what I would go through, what I have been through and more to go through, he would bear by his choices, by his life, very evidently on his body and in his life and his choices, by his choices, the brand marks of Jesus. It's evident to whom Paul belongs. And remember who he was. Paul belonged to a Pharisee of Pharisees. To whom did Paul belong in that sense, in that particular grouping, as people would have seen him before the road to Damascus? Remember who Paul was. Paul knew, that should say K-N-E-W, children. Paul knew his identity. No confusion for him or for others. He would say just two verses earlier, he would write about this new creation. Sometimes when we bring somebody maybe first to this place and they make a confession, we bring them to this place, we talk about and we sometimes sing about a new creation. That's what we are to be. And Paul would reference this just two verses earlier in the same letter, in the same chapter. Let me ask this question. What brand marks are in the room this morning? The brand marks of what spread across this room this morning? Well, hopefully all of us answer the brand marks of Jesus, the brand marks of Christ, our unity with... That's what we want it to be. That's our hope. But let me ask you very personally, in the most honest response that you can give and before the God who already knows the answer, whether we know it or not, what brand marks do you bear? And to whom or to what does that say you belong? What brand marks are in the room this morning? Now, some marks ought never be ours. Paul would write to this same congregation just a chapter earlier. Paul would write in Galatians chapter 5, just before going through what we call the fruits of the Spirit. By contrast, he goes in through the works of the flesh. And as you read there, Galatians 5, 19 through 21, you're looking at some works that would bring some brand marks that suggest some ownership of our lives that ought not be. Hopefully, these brand marks do not exist in this room. Some brand marks ought never to be in the life of a Christian. And so he makes that contrast starting in the very next verse, and he says, instead, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and he goes on to paint a much different picture, which says there has to be a contrast from before Christ to after Christ. It's a stark contrast in these verses and the next set of two or three verses when you look at the fruits of the Spirit. And if that contrast does not exist, what brand marks are in your life? And to whom do you really belong? Some marks ought never be ours. The brand marks of Jesus is the question of the hour, of the lesson. What are the brand marks of Jesus that ought to be ours so that we belong to Him? Well, we could pick out many. First, let's look at the brand mark of humility, bending to the will of our Father first. Jesus did this. And consider who Jesus was. Consider who we are not. Jesus would bend to the will of the Father, having come from heaven himself, voluntarily, having come from heaven himself, being God incarnate, I and the Father are one, present at creation, the preeminent Christ, that is, having first place. The whole book of Colossians is about the preeminence, the first place of Christ. Present in the beginning, present for creation, above all things. And He bent to the will of the Father. Now, if this is true about Jesus Christ, how should it not be true about one of us? If we're going to bear the brand marks of Jesus, which says, He has me, He owns me. If we're going to bear the brand marks of Jesus, we ought to have this one upon us. Look at the three passages of Scripture right there. John chapter 12, there's one. John 14, there's another. And Luke 22. All three and a whole lot more we could have gone to this morning say essentially the same thing. Not my will, but thy will be done. Humility to submit to the will of the Father above my own. Submitting to the will of the Father first. That's a brand mark of Jesus. Do you bear that mark? That's one we ought to carry. The mark that bends to the will of the Father first. We're going to sing a song that has to do with that idea. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. Marks of Jesus go to a second thing evident in Scripture. Not only do we see the surrender to the will of the Father first, but we also see to bear the brand marks of Jesus in our life, on our body, if you will, and in our hearts, we might need to look like this. Straightforward speaking, out of love, and that's where it comes from, out of love, speaking the truth in love. Straightforward speaking, out of love, when it's time to speak. I will tell you, I lament the fact that far too many well-meaning, good-hearted, very regularly active within the body Christians have mistakenly seen through the years love just never saying anything. I will pray about that. I will pray for that individual. That's wonderful. That should never cease. That should start and it should not stop. And that's loving indeed. But nowhere in Scripture does say love never says anything. In fact, Scripture teaches that there are times when if something is not said, it's the most unloving thing I can do or be. And so to bear the brand marks of Jesus on my body, in my body, by my choices, in my life, carried in my heart, not only would I have the humility to bend to the will of the Father first instead of my own, I would also have this quality, this trait. Jesus did. It's a brand mark from Him. In John chapter 4, Jesus is speaking with the woman at the well. And He says things like this. As you remember, she is a Samaritan woman. The Jews would have no dealings with the Samaritans, as was said there in John chapter 4. But Jesus had dealings with this woman in that chapter. And as they conversed, He eventually got to this point. He said, "Go and call your husband." And she said, "Sir, I have no husband." And Jesus said, "You've spoken well," or correctly, "you've spoken rightly in saying that you have no husband, because you've had five and the one you're with right now is not your husband." Pretty hard to misunderstand. Jesus wants to make connection with this woman, and we see that he does right there. But what did it take, perhaps? It took getting some attention, Jesus, in John 4. The reading in John chapter 8 this morning is another example. I meant to put that up here. And that's where the reading was this morning. Was that where the reading was this morning? Is where it was supposed to be. It was in I changed it. Okay. Well, in John chapter 8, leave it to your son to just blow it. No, I'm just kidding. No, actually, that's the one. That's the reading he was given. In John chapter 8, Jesus is dealing with a woman that had been caught in adultery. He wants to make a certain type of connection right there. And she's got accusers, and they're looking to trap Jesus. They're really not totally and only concerned with her situation. This is all about trapping Jesus. Jesus encounters them there in John 8, and eventually he says, "He that is without sin, he bends and he writes in the sand. He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone." The accusers get up and leave, and he says, "Woman, where are your accusers? Does no one condemn you?" And then he says, "Well, then neither do I condemn you." Now, understand that Jesus did not say, "I do not condemn adultery." Jesus did not say that, because Jesus would condemn that very action elsewhere. And the rest of Scripture does that elsewhere. Jesus did not refuse to condemn adultery. What he condemned was her in that scenario. He was more interested in, where do you go from here? And he said, "Then neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Notice the fact that notice in John 8, as you read that sometime, that speaking truth and even speaking it in love still came with some requirements. Okay? Go and sin no more. Don't continue to do this thing. Matthew 23 is where the reading was just a minute ago. And you heard the same thing there. Jesus' rebuke of Peter in Mark chapter 8 and verse 33 is another straightforward time of speaking from Jesus to one that he deeply loved. Who was Peter to Jesus? He was in that inner circle. We talk about the 12, sometimes we see the 4. We talk about the 12, and sometimes we see the 4 that seem to be in that inner circle. And at the very pinnacle of that inner circle, so often seems to be Peter. Peter, chosen by God to preach the greatest sermon ever known to man, the most important day in the early church history, on that day of Pentecost. Peter to preach in Acts chapter 2. Who was Peter? One deeply loved, but he still had rebuke for one he deeply loved. Here's one example of that, and there's more that comes, for example, in John 21 after the resurrection of Jesus. If we're to bear on our body the brand marks of Jesus, we need to bend to the will of the Father above our own and bend to His will first in humility, and we also speak out of love when it's time to speak to someone. And there may be someone that you know that you need to speak to. We're going to sing a song that goes with that idea. Actually, we're going to sing two songs that go with that idea. When it's time to speak. There's a message true and glad for the sinful and the sad. Ring it out, ring it out. It will give them courage new. It will help them to be true. Ring it out. Ring it out. Ring out the word. For far from Jesus, many fairly easy to learn, and we're going to sing just that first verse through twice, I believe, I think it speaks, no pun intended, to the point that was just made, to bear the brand mark of Jesus in this way when it's time to speak. And we pray about it ahead of time before we have certain types of conversations with others. It's, Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of thy word. Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of thy tone. As thou hast sought, so let me seek thine erring children lost and lone. Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of thy tone. As thou hast sought, so let me seek thine erring children lost. There's a third brand mark of Jesus. Not only would it be humility to bend to his will above my own and bend to his first, not only is it speaking when it's time to speak out of the ultimate love, which is for someone's soul, but it's also, I think, this third characteristic of Jesus that Scripture just screams. It's so evident. It's the mercy of Jesus. I need to bear on my body that same mark. Hard to miss. In the body of Jesus, in the words of Jesus, through the life of Jesus, the brand mark of mercy. There's Jesus in John 8 again with the woman caught in adultery. He had mercy upon that situation, but he said, don't. And the most merciful thing someone can do is to call attention to sin. Understand, if our attention is not grabbed, our attention to our sin is not grabbed, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. What does the second half of that verse teach? That teaches that our sin has us fall short. That's a problem. Sometimes the most merciful thing that somebody can do is tell someone, this is wrong. That's the most merciful thing that somebody can do sometimes. Because if somebody goes throughout their life completely unconcerned with a life that is in error, with a life that is in sin, and they go unconcerned because nobody's brought that to their attention and taught them something else from the Word of God, that is the most unloving person on earth. I don't love anybody if I don't have the ultimate concern, which is for their soul. Sometimes the most merciful thing someone can do is to speak certain things. However, Jesus had the heart to cry over a Jerusalem that was rejecting him. Many, if not most. What would this same Jesus teach about those that would accept versus reject? He would say, wide is the road that leads to destruction, which comes from rejection. And many find that, and very narrow is the road that leads to life eternal, and only few find that. We can all understand many and few. So here's this Jesus living amongst the people that are rejecting him, and he weeps over that city. What do we often do as human nature? What do we often do when someone rejects our words, when someone rejects our life, when someone rejects our choice, when someone rejects what we wear, when someone rejects anything about us? We are prone to, well, okay, you reject me, so therefore, in fact, not, I have now a right to also reject you. That's human nature thought. It's not correct, but it's human nature thought, right? Well, you rejected me. Jesus is busy praying for these people. And the most merciful thing that we can do to be more like Jesus is to pray for those who, and here's how Scripture says it, pray for those that spitefully, what? use you. Do you pray for those people? Or do you say, well, then now I have the right to reject them as well? They did it first. We're playing a game of spiritual firsties, like kids play on the playground. We're not supposed to be kids. Jesus had the heart to cry over a place that was rejecting him all too much. He had the same heart driving him for souls that drove him to Calvary, allowed him to be beaten, allowed him to be spat upon, allowed him to be rejected again in that way, in a more painful, literal, physical, painful way, the most painful death known to man, still to this day, and to be crucified. Luke chapter 23. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Jesus would bear the clear brand mark of mercy, not only in these ways, but in Matthew chapter 6, verse 15, he would remind us, for if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. If you forgive, your Father will forgive you. If you do not forgive, your Father will not forgive you. And so maybe that should be important to us, because I would assume every hand would go up in this room, for those that could understand what was being said, every hand would go up in this room if I said, hands up if you need forgiveness. Every hand should go. Well, and I don't mean from someone here or someone upon this earth. I mean from the Father and from His Son. If you need that, there's a prerequisite right in front of us. That's a brand mark to bear, the mark of mercy. And so we sing a song about that. How many of you know this one? I think we sing this through twice this morning as well.
We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity may one day be restored, and they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that our Christians by our love, by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
I asked at the beginning of the lesson, what brand marks are in this room? And I wanted you to be open and honest about that question. And I said, before the God who already knows the answer, the real answer, sometimes my answer to certain questions about my own spiritual walk or my own spiritual struggles, my given answer may not actually be the right one. It may be what I think is true, and it may be what I hope is true. It doesn't mean it's what is true. And so in your best effort of an honesty before a God who already knows, I ask that question, what brand marks are in the room this morning? We need to bear on our bodies the brand marks of Jesus to tell whose we are. And our choices, our steps, that for which we sacrifice tells whose we are. What brand marks are in the room? And what brand marks do you want to create if they're not already there? What brand marks of Jesus that we looked at? We just looked at three. We could have looked at 47. What brand marks of Jesus that we looked at this morning do you want to create? What other brand marks of Jesus that you know exist from a study of His life and His words in Scripture do you know exist in Him that you want to create in you? You can do that, but you're going to need help. You're going to need help from the Word of God, and you're going to need help from the people of God, and you're going to need help to be in union with God so that those things can happen. Those things don't happen outside of union with Christ, because you do not have at your disposal, you do not have at the ready, by your side, those things given to those in Christ, according to Scripture, and not given to those outside of Christ, again, according to Scripture. You'll need help with that. But I want you to know they're doable. And I want you to remember those things speak. And I want you to remember those marks influence. And they're powerful. And they can be created. We should bear on our body the brand marks of Jesus. And if you need help doing that this morning, those things stand ready to help you. We can get that done because He can get that done. And I hope you'll respond if you have need to those things or anything else while together we stand and sing.